We'll commence with the January 30th, 2009 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another edition of the Rain Report, available as a weekly MP3 download and podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. When is the last time you spun the dial across 10 meters? It seems like it's been dead for years. One ham who strongly disagrees with that conclusion is Keith Schlottman, KR7RK, treasurer for a large worldwide 10-meter support group known as 1010 International.
10 meters is not dead. To prove that, I'm going to ask everybody a question. If you would just raise your hand if you have either made a 10-meter contact or you wish you had made a 10-meter contact sometime in 2008. Everybody, see? There you go. As you can see, the judges are giving 10 meters a perfect 10. You know, it's amazing when we put on these booths, people walk up, oh, 10 meters, huh? That's 10 meters is so dead lately. And everybody you talk to, that's just the phrase over and over, 10 meters is dead. Well, I just don't think that 10 meters is dead. It's not true. And I'm going to try to give you some examples and prove that to you, that 10 meters is not dead. And also, hopefully, maybe we can come up with some ideas on how you can go out and make some 10-meter contacts. 1010 International Net was formed to promote the use of 10 meters back in the 1960s. And that still today remains our mission. We want to get people on the air, use 10 meters so we don't lose 10 meters. We don't want 10 meters to turn into Citizens Band Deluxe. It's really important to get on and pick up your microphone or use your key or whatever. I don't know how many of you are contesters. 1010 hosts 4 QSO parties a year, plus other operating events. We treat them like contests. There is a score. We publish the top 10 and so on, and you get a certificate if you win your call district or your DX country. But at the same time, it's perfectly acceptable to stop and chat. You hear this on any band, is that whenever there's a contest, it just seems like somehow, miraculously, the ionosphere gets good all of a sudden. These are real results from very recent contests. February of 2008, the top 10 stations logged 2,246 contacts in total. And 1010 QSO parties, you know, we're not talking about CQ worldwide type activity to begin with. So that's pretty impressive. I don't know, you know, how many of you have spent a weekend and logged several hundred QSOs in the past year or two even, and maybe in the past several years, but it is possible. The summer one, the top 10 logged 4,000. How about the CQ WPX phone, the single band 10 meter winner, 1,312 contacts in 2007. And on and on, you see the single band 10 meter in the CW contest, 1,270 QSOs over a 48-hour period on 10 meters. These are real numbers. You can look them up on the internet. The point is, there is activity going on out there. There's other people making contacts. If you're not, why not? We have daily nets, and there's always lots of check-ins, but, you know, sometimes those nets are all the guys in the same city. I worked the ARRLDX contest in 2008. And I made a lot of DX contacts on 10 meters, and that was with my bouncing needle antenna that I shouldn't have been using my radio with that antenna. Okay, how do you know when you're going to get the DX? I mean, sure, you can wait around for the DX contest, but if you're not making use of some of these tools, there's so many tools available now. It's not cheating to go look at the DX cluster and see if 10 meters is open, and if it opens up, people will start spotting. People will spot in the United States another station they heard in the United States, so maybe it's not a DX, but it's another state. PropNet is a system that was developed by N7YG and some other people. Another one, PSK Reporter. If you use Ham Radio Deluxe, you can actually see real-time activity. Gray line maps. Get to know how to work gray line, and you may find yourself getting a very short north-south type opening. Propagation prediction software. I'm not an expert in that, but there's all kinds of tools out there that will tell you what's the best hour of any given day to look for propagation. CQ Magazine publishes a forecast every month. And then beacons. The beacon network is really underutilized, and that's one thing you find on the DX cluster. People will post beacons that they're hearing, and it's amazing. The band will have no activity, and yet somebody's hearing a beacon that's 2,000 miles away. And that tells you that the reason there's no contacts being made maybe at that time is not because the band's not open. It's because nobody's trying. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. You turn on the radio, you spin the dial, you just don't hear much. So you kind of give it up and say, well, you know, next time around. Well, meanwhile, there's probably 400 other people doing the exact same thing, and nobody gets anywhere. Now, be prepared for seasonal changes in propagation patterns, the sporadic e-season. You're going to start seeing openings more often, and if you start understanding how sporadic e works, you may find yourself getting some contacts that you weren't expecting. I want to just talk a few minutes about some de-expeditions. We're at the bottom. I mean, we are truly at the bottom of the sunspot cycle, right? And yet, there's people spending big money In fact, I'd be happy if anybody wants to go on a de-expedition with me. I'll kick in $20 or so, and if you have the other $74,980, we can do this. If you want 10-meter activity, all you got to do is get on a boat and go find an island. BP6 Dieck, Ducey Island, which is one of the Pitcairn Islands, I credit these guys for totally reinvigorating myself, going after every single band slot we could possibly get, including 10 meters. VP6 Dieck, in the time they were down there, close to 9,000 QSOs, 10-meter QSOs. They set tons of records. But how do you make 9,000 QSOs at the bottom of the cycle from a DX country? There's nobody in the same city as them. You know what? I worked them. I don't even own an amplifier. I've never owned an amplifier. So I didn't sit there and kick up a couple of kilowatts to get through to them. I did it with my measly little 50 watts. VP6 is actually its own DXCC country. It was a great, great de-expedition. TX5C, Clipperton Island, which their little mascot was the bird, the booby bird. They actually had a lot of trouble there. They weren't on the air much less than they expected to be, yet they pulled off roughly 4,000 QSOs on 10 meters. It's mind-boggling. Why are these guys able to do it?
You're listening to a 2008 Dayton Hamvention Talk by 1010 International Treasurer Keith Schlottman, KR7RK. Keith will resume his talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report. Available to you via your cell phone at 773-358-7845. That's 773-358-7845. Compliments of Udall Systems. www.uddle.com.
XXR, Arwanda, they weren't really focused on 10 meters, but they still managed to do 1,646. And then 3B7C last year made about 7,600. On these de-expeditions, they ran phone, they ran Morse code, and most of them run nowadays are running RIDI too. But most of them are not running PSK-31. There's been a few. I managed to get a few de-expeditions on PSK-31 in the last year. But if you're not doing PSK-31, you should be. It's easy to do. There's vendors out there that will sell you the interface for under $100. And 1010 has a digital award now, and the digital award is not just PSK-31, but it certainly is where we're finding an awful lot of the digital activity. Why am I talking so much about PSK-31? Well, right now, maybe what you need to make a 10-meter QSO is the ability to work under weak signal conditions. And if you're a CW operator, you know that a lot of times you can decode CW even when a phone contact might not be possible. PSK-31 is similar. You can really get some truly weak signals to come through. The next one I want to just mention here is RIDI, because as I mentioned, the de-expeditions use RIDI a lot. A lot of people might think of RIDI as being the old teletype clunking along, but nowadays more people are using something like this. It can get annoying, so usually when you're operating RIDI, you turn your volume down and let the decoder take care of the decoding. You don't need unique software. For most of these digital modes, one software package handles them all, including, by the way, Morse code. So if you are a code fan, or you wish you were a code fan, but you never quite got that fast code, well, now you can cheat a little bit. There's all kinds of code readers available. There's little standalone units that you can buy. You can hook it up if you're running an interface like the Navigator or many of the other ones out there. A lot of those will decode CW for you. Now, I'll warn you, in order for them to decode, the sender has to be sending really clean. If somebody's on the other end sending with a keyboard, it'll decode just fine. But if somebody's sending with a straight key, you're probably not going to be able to decode. Some people get very uptight about people that are using keyboards for code. But the other thing is there's just kind of a resurgence in interest in Morse code. And strangely enough, you know, the FCC abandoned the Morse code requirement, and at the same time, all of a sudden now, people are real interested in Morse code. Isn't that strange? There's a fairly new group called the Straight Key Century Club that promotes use of straight keys. FIST is out here. They've been promoting CW since long before the abolishment of code requirements. You know, you get on and you find out all these really interesting QSO party is going on, and I got on one and ran into one of the directors of 1010. So I'd encourage you, don't forget CW. I'm working real hard at trying to get better at it. This is important. If there's anybody here that is a technician who didn't ever pass a code test, you're allowed to use 28 to 28.5 megahertz. For those of us that are already able to use 10 meters, we got a whole new crowd of people to welcome in to have QSOs with, to get to know, and have some fun. So listen in, and don't forget the beacons. They're down there at 28190 to 225. And then, of course, 1010 International. I'd be remiss if I didn't spend at least a couple minutes talking about 1010. We're very, very close to the 75,000th member. And this is something you can all help us with, is to get those last 30 or so members that we need. That's how close we are. There is not a month that goes by that we don't get a new member in 1010. Now, how could that be? You have to work 10 members to join. If there's no activity, where are these people getting 10 members? Obviously, there is activity. Let's do what 1010 was formed to do. We're here to promote 10 meters. Let's get out there and promote it. I just do want to give you a little word of encouragement. The sunspots are coming back. That I can promise you.
Keith Schlottman, KR7RK, a strong supporter of 10 meters and treasurer of 1010 International. You'll find his email address and a link to 1010 International on the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2009, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.